Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good Monday morning to you, everyone, and thank you for joining us here on this edition of the Private Officer Beat, a production of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association. Glad that you're joining us on this Monday morning, very, very cold and bright and early, just a week away now before ho, ho, ho comes down the chimney. Hopefully at your house and mine. We have a lot of interesting news to share with you this week, and we're going to be finishing up on part two of Private Policing, Ready or Not. But before we do all of that, we're going to be talking about some upcoming events for 2018, as well as some breaking news that's happened over the last few days. And I'm going to be telling you about a very interesting project that I'm working on for the Associated Press that may actually turn into something a little bit more. And we'll be telling you about that coming up this morning on this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Of course, we want to say a big thank you out there to our sponsors, Body Armor USA. Check them out online today. We've got what it takes to protect you. If you're searching for vest, body armor, protection wear, we have it all. And we have a great discount for all of our members of Private Officer International. So call us up today or look us up online at Body Armor USA. We also want to say a big thank you this morning to our sponsors, DPS Public Safety, a law enforcement and private security group who really provides some very unique services to the public, including medical emergency response, private policing, where their officers have full police authority, and they respond to alarms, to complaints of loitering, and a whole lot of other private policing EMS type services available in the Virginia, D.C., Maryland Metro, but maybe coming to a city near you, as they are definitely looking to expand. Also this morning, we've got a big, big thank you out there to Mr. Kyle Green, Vice President of Private Officer International. We definitely want to recognize him because of all of the work that he's done for us this year and every year, but especially this year as we expanded and we have reached into some new markets. Now, you may have noticed Private Officer International has really, in the last couple of years, taken on some new different categories of membership, including bail bonds and bail enforcement. But we also have a number of fraud investigators, insurance investigators, people working in the retail, organized retail crime investigations on the national level, and we've actually had quite a few regulatory agents and investigators and staffers from several states join our association this year, which we're really, really happy because, you know, I know a lot of people don't like to be told what to do, and we don't like rules and regulations, and but it's good to be on the same page. If you are in a regulatory state, you want to make sure that you are following the letter of the law, and you also want to be able to help to expand, increase, change the regulations, the regulatory statutes, and so it's always good to have everybody at the table. Even sometimes, it's kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner. let's just picture this for a moment. You know, not everybody at that Thanksgiving dinner is someone we absolutely love to be around. But it is Thanksgiving, and we do have to be there around the table. So same thing with regulatory commissions and offices and investigators. If we have to be regulated, which I think, personally, it's a good thing, just like most other professions are regulated. But if we have to be regulated, why not bring everybody to the table at once? And that way we can get our differences out, we can talk about things, and hopefully all work together as one instead of against each other and hating each other. And it's kind of like the public and the police. The police are always going to be there. The laws are always going to be there. You might as well get used to it. So if we have to be governed by the law, if we have to interact with law enforcement, why not make it semi-pleasant or even pleasant, completely pleasant, because it's really for the good of everybody. The law is for the good of everybody. And I personally, I can tell you this, because hopefully they're not listening. But I personally have had some run-ins and some questionable encounters with regulatory offices. I don't like some of the things that they do, but I have to abide by them. As long as I want to be in business in that state, I have to put up with them. I've got to do what they say. I've got to follow their procedure, their law. And so that's just the way that it goes. It doesn't matter if you're in Georgia, California, Florida, Tennessee, if you're in a regulatory state, let's all get around the table, let's hash it out, and maybe we can get a few things changed, maybe we can make some better laws, maybe we can save a few lives, and that's why Private Officer International has a legislative unit that acts in all regulatory states, and thankfully, because we do have a full-time news department, we're able to frequently spot something in the news that's happening in a state, in a regulatory state, and we're able to voice our opinion or volunteer our services and interact with that state in changing the law and making things better for the security industry and public safety and private police and all of those other professions that we serve as an association and organization. If you have any input on that, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. All right, well, so much about that. We really do have a lot to talk about this morning. But before I go any further, I will tell you that next week, 1 week from today, obviously, is Christmas Day. So our radio show will be heard that Tuesday, the next Tuesday, which will be the 26th. So instead of on the 25th, ho, 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 we will be live and on the air on Tuesday, the 26th of 2017. And the same will go the following week. Instead of broadcasting live on New Year's Day, we'll be broadcasting live on Tuesday, January the 2nd. I know a lot of people, a lot of you are traveling. Some of you have some vacation time coming up that you're going to take, and I've kind of questioned my friends and colleagues and even POI members over the last maybe a couple of weeks, kind of taking the poll. Hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Yeah, you're going to go out of town? Where you're going? You know. So I know a lot of you are traveling even throughout that week of Christmas, but we're going to go ahead and do the show on Tuesday, both Christmas week and New Year's week, so be expecting it then. Of course, a lot of you do listen on demand, which is great. You can get our radio shows 24 hours a day right here in our library, as well as on demand from iTunes and several other locations, including YouTube and other social media platforms, and, of course, on our own page at privateofficer.com. So you won't have to miss it, even if you are on vacation or out of town during the holidays. Our radio shows will be there waiting for you, just waiting for you to have the time to take a listen. You're not going to want to miss anything, that's for sure, because we're going to keep on broadcasting all the great news and information and talk about some serious topics like we're talking about this week in part two of Private Policing Ready or Not. When we come back from our first break, we're going to actually be talking about several incidents that happened this past weekend where private security did little to nothing to respond to the situations. In fact, two of them really upset me, although I understand that, you know, most security officers can't or hardly can protect themselves and therefore can't really help others, and just the industry and the employers and the clients don't allow security to do much, almost useless, unfortunately, not blaming the security officers themselves, but blaming just the same old, you know, industry. But we'll be talking a little bit about those incidents when we come back from our first break. But before I do let you go, I want to remind you that we are always looking for you and your input. We want you to be involved. This is an interactive radio show and an interactive organization. So if you have videos that you want to show or share about whether something on the job, something you've been involved in, or a news item, please send it all to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now, we are working on a new digital TV format. There's a lot of technicalities, legal issues, and things like that that we're trying to smooth over and hammer out, and so we're not sure when we're going to air officially. Hopefully, it'll be in the first couple of months of 2018, but we have been working on that for over a year. We thought we had a platform at one point this year, but it just didn't work out. But we are working with the team, and hopefully we will be bringing my ugly mug and some of your ugly mugs to the TV program coming up in early next year. So, you know, be listening for more information about that. It's something we're pretty happy about, and we'll see where that takes us. When we come back, we're also going to be sharing with you all of this week's breaking news, some information about some upcoming training that is free and available, and our Help Wanted list, along with a couple of birthdays, some awards, and a whole lot more. So don't go away. We're coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military, and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day, waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. This past week, I was reading an article about suicide, the silent killer of law enforcement. Now, many people do not know that there are more suicides of police officers every year than on-duty deaths. In fact, last year, there were about 40 more suicides of police officers than there were deaths on duty. Many people also do not realize that private security personnel also commit suicide while on duty. In recent years, we've tracked as many as 15, and this year, only 4 that we have been able to identify and confirm, although I'm pretty sure it's more than that, as more private security and private police are armed and therefore have the weapon to follow through with their thoughts of ending their own lives. Law enforcement, you know, and even private security in some jobs and assignments, they go through a lot. They see a lot. They are exposed to a lot that the average citizen is not exposed to. They work terrible hours, often rotating, sometimes on day, sometimes at night. They have to work a lot of hours just to pay their bills. They're not home as often as the average 8-to-5 worker. They're under stress. They're under the microscope all the time. They're taking flack from their own supervisors for not writing enough tickets or making enough arrests or one thing or the other. They're under stress at home. They're taking it from the public. Everywhere they turn, they are facing some type of pushback, some type of threat, some type of do it or else. And security officers, in some cases, find themselves in the same position. And we know that more than 100 security officers are killed almost every year. Some years, there's more than that, between 100 and 140 security officers in some years. And we also know that at least, in our estimate, at least 12 or 15 may commit suicide on the job. It is a terrible thought. It is a terrible situation to have a person take their own lives, especially a person who has given their all to help others, to protect others, to be there when no one else would be. But it is a killer that most people do not think about. Actually, in the United States, suicides have been steadily increasing for many years. In fact, just recently, my own neighbor committed suicide on a Sunday evening, killing herself, shooting herself in the head. And now, just in the last couple of days, 4 police officers have killed themselves in several agencies. You ask, why does it happen? Why would they do that? Well, let me tell you, you would think that your employer, especially in law enforcement or any first responder agency, would have your back. But the truth is, for many years, it was a situation where if you went to the employer, you went to the chief and said, look, I've got a problem with alcohol. I've got a problem with substance abuse. I'm thinking about ending my life. They would send you to the mental institution and then fire you. If you had a drug abuse situation, if you went to your chief, you would be terminated and left out in the cold. And unfortunately, many security officers are finding themselves in similar positions. We often say that many of the things that law enforcement and some private security personnel go through often mirror each other. They're often similar. In this time of year, when suicides rise and many people feel alone, uncared for, their back against the wall. Suicides increase between November and January. Pick up the phone and call a friend and let them know that you're there for them. If someone is in need to talk with a professional, we have connected many years ago with an organization made up of law enforcement, firefighters, and first responders. They operate a 24-hour call center, safecallnow.org. Please call them today if you need to speak with someone. We often tell people every week to be sure to contact us anytime that you need help, 24 hours a day at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We also have our own chaplains, and we're connected with several counseling services that are ready, willing, and very able to assist you. All right, let's think about some good thoughts here. Let's think about what else is really great news. Well, great news is, of course, you can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, our own news blogs, and so much more. Don't forget to connect with us today on our social media or call us Monday through Thursday at 704-831-8109. What about the news, you ask? Well, that's a good question. Glad you asked. This past week, Washington, D.C., TSA announced that they are testing some new devices, screening techniques being tested in New York, L.A., Washington, D.C., not only in the airports, but also in the rail hubs. These new sophisticated surveillance detection devices now look for pipe bombs or anything that might be concealed under your clothing. What it looks for is it picks up on the temperature of the body, as well as it can tell, hey, there is something there under the clothing. And they're hoping to be able to install it at all airports and transit centers to cut down on folks with possible pipe bombs or explosives. In Georgia, Cobb County, that's in the metro Atlanta area, police there have arrested a man, Lamont Whitaker, who purposely ran over a school crossing guard. Witnesses said that not only was he driving recklessly and going more than 20 miles over the speed limit in the school zone, he purposely cut his wheel to hit a crossing guard. I mean, that in itself is bizarre, but he purposely ran her over for whatever reason and killed her, and police caught up with him about a week later, and he's currently in jail waiting for trial. Kingsport, Tennessee, police there arrested a shoplifter after she bled over merchandise because she sliced her hand while trying to remove a security device. She damaged more than $1,600 in clothing. Jessica L. Atkins, 30, of Kingsport, Tennessee, now faces a judge and possible jail sentence. Two men in Jacksonville, Florida, have been indicted for killing a witness who witnessed them kill a security officer. Security officer Michael Wright, 62 years old, was gunned down. And police say that two men tried to kill the witness to that murder. They have been arrested. How about this one? Lincoln, Nebraska. The Supreme Court of Nebraska has ruled that a person can disturb the peace of a security officer. This whole case began as a couple of people fighting at a high school, and they were charged with disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace, and those charges were challenged in court. They said that police and security officers, they can't be protected like this because they should, you know, their job involves being disturbed. It involves being involved in disturbances and other things that would disturb the peace. Well, the Supreme Court said, oh, no, hold on. They have a right to their peace and quiet. And the court said the charge will stand. In Florida, a Best Buy loss prevention agent was too smart for the two shoplifters who came in with a baby stroller and tried to roll that baby stroller out of the store with electronics. He knew what they were up to. They'd been spotted on camera, and they were both arrested for felony shoplifting. In Beltsville, Maryland, that's in the Prince George County area and the Washington, D.C. metro, two armed men robbed an armored car at gunpoint 10:30 on Friday in Beltsville, Maryland. The two security officers got out of their vehicle. They were standing at the ATM preparing to load up cash when the two masked robbers stormed in, attacked them. The suspect stole more than $200,000 and then fled. Police are still looking for them today. This is the time of year when these things are happening. Two people were arrested for pulling a knife and attacking a Target LP agent in Pasadena, California. The shoplifters tried to get away with some merchandise. When security tried to stop them, they pulled a knife. This is one of those suicide things that we were just talking about. Passaic County, New Jersey, a Passaic County Sheriff's Lieutenant Timothy Carpenter killed himself inside of a vehicle in a mountain reservation, a recreation area. He died of a self-inflicted gunshot. Very, very sad indeed. A very bizarre scene played out this past week in Fairfax County, Virginia, and that is also in the Metro D.C. area. Near Dulles International Airport, a man who rear-ended a vehicle got out of the vehicle and stripped down naked. Jose Gonzalez Flores, 32, of Sterling, Virginia, was involved in the crash on Route 28 when suddenly he jumped out, stripped down, and jumped up on top of several vehicles. He then got a ride on a flatbed and began pounding on the window until police from the Virginia State Police and the Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority Police and Loudoun County Sheriff's deputies all responded and finally took him into custody. A lot of news coming out of other countries. We put that on our midweek and Sunday weekend news wrap-up newsletter. If you're not getting those, please go to our website at privateofficer.com and sign up for them today. A lot of retail news also in the news. Be sure to check those out. In San Francisco, off-duty security agents were recognized with awards for springing into action during a stabbing incident. Valerie Smith and Vincent Delarizzo work for Covenant Security. They're screening agents contracted by TSA at the San Francisco International Airport. They were each presented a certificate of appreciation when they jumped into the fray when a man was involved in a stabbing. Both security officers were off duty, but they rushed in along with police and took the suspects into custody. Metro Cleveland Security, located in Cleveland, Ohio, has been fined again for not running proper background checks on their prospective applicants and employees. They have been fined for the second time and again are under investigation. In Ohio, you do not have to go through any type of training as an unarmed security officer, but you do have to be registered and a background check conducted. You only have to go through armed training or if you're a private police in Ohio, you have to go through specific training there as well, but not for unarmed, but you still have to be licensed and you still have to be background check and all of that good stuff. Evidently, this security agency just doesn't want to comply. Greeley, Colorado, police there say that a man armed with a large knife tried to shoplift some items, and when confronted by security, he pulled the knife, threatened the security officer to do bodily harm. The security officer was able to de-arm him, subdue him, and take him into custody. A story out of Anchorage, Alaska, something that we're starting to see quite a bit of, actually. 8 Anchorage police officers teamed up with numerous loss prevention agents from several stores for a shoplifting bust. And what they did was they spent several days going from store to store, conducting investigations, and taking down shoplifters. Now, you would think that, yeah, I mean, this is probably something that they should do more of, but it's not done on a regular basis, although some areas do have special teams, and they go around on a regular basis with loss prevention, do conduct surveillance. They do look for organized retail theft suspects, which is really their prime target, but along the way, they arrest many other everyday shoplifters as well. We're going to take another break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our Help Wanted. We're going to talk about a couple of awards that were given out, and then we're going to go right into the training of the day, private policing, ready or not. I'm also going to share with you what I was saying early on when we first began the program about the project with the Associated Press. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio Show.
You're on your way to meet up with friends, but you can't seem to get anywhere quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. Seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting while driving. Make sure you get where you're going.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997.
It's a little on the nippy side in many areas of our country, so if you are working in security, private law enforcement, school security, public safety, be sure to layer up. Many people who work outside this time of year obviously get sick, get the flu. They have to spend several days in bed off work. Sometimes they get paid and sometimes they don't. But just a little friendly reminder, you know, the weather is kind of flaky this time of year. You'll have a 60-degree day one day, and then tomorrow it'll be down in the 20s in the overnight or early morning, and it just doesn't warm up. So be prepared. Be layered up, and that way you can take the layers off as needed. All right, well, we're glad that you are listening to us today on the Private Officer Beat Radio Show, and glad that you're here, but please do us a favor. Tell other people about our radio show. Tell them how great it is and that the guy who's over there, the voice of the program, he's just so cool. He's just so well-informed. He's just so, well, make it up as you go. Just let them know that Private Officer Beat Radio is here for loss prevention, private security, private police, investigators. All of our topical shows are definitely some good information for anyone working in the public safety related fields. We want to tell you about a couple of awards that were given out this week. We're very happy. I was going to say excited. We are excited as well to let you know about Henry Masters. He saved not only a woman who had been involved in a car accident and was going in cardiac arrest, but he was also able to detain the driver of the secondary vehicle who was DUI and had him in custody on the ground when police arrived. How great is that? So actually, he got two awards, one for life-saving and one for his bravery for jumping out there and clamping down the handcuffs on the guy who caused the wreck and injured that woman. So great job, and we really appreciate people, whether they're security or just private citizens, who are not afraid to step out and do the right thing and help those in need. You know, and that's what this world was founded on. We have to be looking out for each other. It's just the way that this world was built. And I, myself, it's in my DNA. I don't care if I'm off duty, out of uniform, whatever it might be. If I see somebody needing help, I'm always going to be that guy who stops and tries to lend a hand. And it has cost me a few times. In fact, one time, I almost got robbed at gunpoint, but that's another story for another day. We also want to recognize today Frank Williamson. He happens to be one of those guys who, no matter what the situation, even if it's something that may put him in harm's way, he's going to get involved. And he did get involved. He chased after a man who snatched a lady's purse in a shopping center. And yes, he was on duty, but he was unarmed. And he could have been hurt. But those are the chances that you have to take sometimes. So congratulations on those deserving folks for getting awards. If you know of someone who has either shown bravery or who has gone above and beyond the expectation of, you know, the company or most, or that guy who is dedicated and just always there, somebody who really needs to be recognized, please send that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. They do not have to be a POI member, and the person nominating them does not have to be a member. We want to recognize anybody who is deserving of that recognition. So please let us know by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now hiring. We're going to get some soundtracks, although we used to have soundtracks, clap tracks and things like that. I just thought they were obnoxious and we got rid of them. We might bring them back. But we do have a couple of positions. We're always hiring. I know that right now in Virginia Beach, Virginia, we are hiring a DCJS, firearms instructor, full-time. You got to have at least 3 years of experience, and we really look for people who have multiple certifications and discipline instructor certs. Send your resume to Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at armorcollege.org, or give us a call at 804-290-4388. We're also looking for the same type of instructor in Richmond, Virginia, flexible hours. We're also looking for a sled instructor in Columbia and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You must also have 3 years of experience. We're looking for a Washington, D.C. special police instructor for our academy and school there. You also have to have 3 years of experience. We're looking for people, like I said, who have multiple discipline certifications. So again, send those resumes to Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at armorcollege.org. We're opening up other schools at other locations, so if you're interested, be sure to contact us today. if you're interested in starting your own school, or if you have a school, if you have a security academy or a medical training school and you want to blend it in with our public safety college that offers more than 600 courses, diplomas, and degrees, just send us an email to Carrie@armorcollege.org or give us a call Monday through Thursday, area code 804-290-4388. Our schools are open 7 days a week, but unfortunately our business office, well, they want some time off and they want to spend time with the family and they want to get a little sleep and they want to have dinner. So, you know, these folks, they do work banker's hours Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Give them a call or send Carrie your resume today. We have a lot of other things that we want to talk about. We do have some free training seminars coming up. Right now we have two that are scheduled for after the New Year's, but we're looking to have 6, 10, 12 scheduled. We hope to be able to bring these to you for $0. Now, you might not be able to afford much, but I'm pretty sure you can afford $0. So be listening for more information about that. Right now, we know that we've got one coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have one coming up in North Carolina. We are looking to put some in Texas, California. We'll go any place. In fact, we were recently asked to come to Canada, and we'll be doing a seminar or actually a multiple-day training there coming up early next year. All right, so I was saying earlier about the Associated Press. I've been asked to write a story about the very subject that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, private policing, ready or not. We'll be writing a story that hopefully will be published for the Associated Press, and whenever a major news carrier like the AP or Reuters or Politico or CNN is published, normally that's picked up by hundreds and sometimes even thousands of other news sources and republished. So I'm hoping that we get a lot of exposure about this use of private security for policing, the good and the negative. And I hope that POI and Armor College will get some good exposure from this story as well. And who knows, I might even get interviewed again, some, TV show. You never know. But be looking for it. It'll be coming out the first quarter of next year, probably between January and March. Private policing, ready or not, that will be the title. And that's what we're talking about coming up in just a few minutes, part two of Private Policing, Ready or Not. Let's take one more quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have the conclusion of private policing, and I'm not all negative about the use of private security, and I've said that last week. I want to make sure that you understand that's not the case at all. I believe that some security officers and some agencies can do a great job. In fact, they already do a great job in many areas in the properties and clients that they secure and patrol. I just want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, gets the right training, and all the other good support stuff that's necessary. So we'll be talking about that coming up in just a moment. Don't go away. We will be right back on the private office.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflectors, please give us some room. Slow down.
And move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down
and move over.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
Doing drugs is like being on top of the world. Everyone says so. Everyone seems to be having one dandy old time. Hey, it's part of growing up. Or is it? Just think about this. Before you go and do something you've never done before, you just better know what you're jumping into.
for the rest of this month and possibly into the first week of New Year, we have a very special offer for membership to Private Officer International, just $39. That is about 25% off. We also are offering two online courses, kind of a buy one, get one free for just $175. Now, if you have not received those offers in your email, send us a quick email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll send you the link to click on and take advantage of those offers today. You won't want to miss them because we don't do that very often. In fact, we've never done the $39 special offer, so take advantage of those today. Also, if you want to purchase them as a gift for your coworkers, your employees, your friends, they make a great gift. Some people do that. In fact, some security companies and agencies have done that in the years past. I strongly suggest that you take advantage of that great offer today. Like I said, if you haven't received those offers in your email, send us your contact information at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll get that out to you right away. Private policing, ready or not. We've been hearing this for a number of years. We've been hearing how many law enforcement agencies, big and small, in all parts of our country, are beginning to use private security in a way that really hasn't been done prior to 6 or 7 years ago. Now, municipalities and counties have often hired private security to secure public spaces and buildings such as libraries and schools, and some have been hired to patrol occasionally a park or some other public space as eyes and ears of that agency, but very, very seldom, almost never, that I am aware of, has law enforcement agencies and cities and towns and counties look toward private security as a gap filler because of the lack of law enforcement personnel and budgets. Many towns and cities are looking toward private security to be first responders, to be more than the eyes and ears. And now, instead of patrolling or securing public space in a kind of a private land type deal, now we're actually seeing them being used out on the road, out on patrol, responding to a number of different incidents and events and situations, and sometimes put into some questionable positions. For many years, police agencies and sheriff departments have used auxiliary and reserve officers. They've used citizen patrols. They've used a group of seniors that are available nationwide to be the eyes and ears of that agency. However, they were not interactive. They didn't get involved personally. They contacted dispatch if they saw something, and they reported it, and they went about their business, and police or the sheriff department was dispatched. With the auxiliaries and reserves of many police agencies now, especially in the last 10, 15 years, they have been required to be more than just unarmed citizens or armed citizens with little to no training. In fact, in many states, it mandates that they must, if they're armed, if they're going to have any authority or interaction with the public, they must go through a certain curriculum, a certain criteria of training. Some areas, they have to complete the full police academy to be a reserve or an auxiliary. They do respond to many crimes in progress and they are used for more than just eyes and ears of their agency. They are used as an extra officer. But in the position, in the situation of agencies and towns and communities using now private security, these private security personnel are not being put through the same training, not even close. They're not being given the proper equipment, communications, and backup support that's necessary. So these are some of the concerns that I have. In some areas, private security now are doing some of the work of either sworn or non-sworn law enforcement personnel. For instance, they are being used for traffic collisions. In some areas, they allow them to write parking tickets. Some agencies have begun using private security to respond to take nonviolent reports where offenders supposedly have left the premise. For instance, a theft of mail, a car that has been broken into, a trespasser that has left, other nonviolent incidents where the suspect has left. But you and I both know, as well as law enforcement, that criminals often return to the scene of the crime. And so I'm concerned that, especially where the security officer may be unarmed and may not have a police equipped to a radio with them, how in the world will they get back up besides using their own cell phone to call 911? In some areas, they are used to patrol the city and county-owned parks. They are being used to support law enforcement in non-law enforcement situations as a secondary patrol beyond the eyes and ears of the community. In fact, last week you heard that the City of New York Parks Department, which used to have sworn peace officers, they farmed out their whole security of their whole New York City park system to Allied Barton, which is now Allied Universal, and they, as you heard last week on the audio, they actually worked around that, and I believe now those private security agents are able to give out some types of citations for various violations. I saw recently, in fact, this summer, where a security officer being used as a park ranger was issuing a citation. He was unarmed. I believe it was in Philadelphia. And he got his butt completely kicked around by the suspect, by the violator. And he didn't even have a two-way radio to call for backup. These are the things I am concerned about. In order for private security to effectively and safely do their jobs, they must have the support and the backup of the agency that they're working for. When you're out in the public space, when you're out on patrol, when you're out enforcing the law or interacting with the public in any way, you have to have certain training. You have to have communications with some dispatch center someplace. We've seen on the light rail systems of some communities where private security are used to be ticket enforcers, fare agents, where they check to make sure that you have a ticket to ride the light rail. And if you don't, they issue you a summons. And if you don't like it, then you have the right, whether you do or don't, you have the right to appeal it. But instead, what I've seen a number of times is they've taken it out on the fare agent, the security agent writing the summons. And I've seen that in the Philadelphia Park incident. We have to make sure that if our security personnel who are going to be enforcing the rules or the laws get additional training. They've got to have additional training. They've got to have conflict resolution. They really do need some self-defense training. They should be armed with at least less lethal, at least pepper spray, baton, handcuffs, taser. They need to be able to protect themselves. We are way, way beyond observe and report in many of these communities who are using private security to perform certain tasks that normally would be law enforcement tasks. And we want to make sure that they get what they need to be able to do their job effectively and safely. So training is very, very, very important. We need to have a certain amount of training. Is it 100 hours? Is it 200 hours? Is it 50 hours? It needs to be well beyond the regulatory required training of their state. What about recruitment? Do we just put any Tom, Dick, and Harry over on that type of assignment? You know, I hope not, but unfortunately, some agencies, some security companies are going to do that. You and I both know that. They're going to put whoever they can put over there, whoever they can get hired and uniformed, they're going to put them on those assignments. It needs to be a special type of person recruited for those positions. I mentioned communications. We need to make sure that they have radio, two-way radio communications with a dispatch center for any time that they need assistance, any time that they're in harm's way. We need to make sure that they're properly equipped. So training, two-way radio communications, the proper equipment to do the job, the proper recruitment of the right person for this type of assignment. And if they're going to engage, detain, they need to definitely be able to defend themselves in case something happens. Many people do not like the police, and there are many folks out there today who don't listen to the police. They're non-compliant, and we are putting now private security in that same position, that if they do have to interact with somebody who might be violating a rule or now it's a law, you know, there'll be some non-compliancies. There'll be those who will attack the security officers. Look at all of the assault attacks and shootings of security officers across the country that happen every single day just on an average property, at a retail store, at a shopping mall, at, any kind of property. And it's happening all of the time. We want to make sure that they really have the training. And speaking of the training, the right equipment, and the right personnel, I told you in the last segment that I was very upset and dissatisfied with two situations that I saw over the weekend. I saw at a very large mall in Nashville, Tennessee, a man who got up on a stage that had been prepared for Christmas holiday music. I saw a man tear apart the stage, break windows, destroy musical instruments that belong to the performers who were setting up. Hundreds of people gathered around and white shirt security standing in the background, unarmed, with nothing, no way of being able to respond, protecting others or taking that suspect into custody, and they basically stood there. They obviously had called their dispatcher who called 911, and they were just waiting for the police. Here, a very large regional mall, a very famous mall, and yet these security personnel, not trained, not equipped, not prepared to protect public safety, in fact, probably could barely protect themselves if they had to, truth be known. Eventually, law enforcement did arrive, and he was taken into custody, but not before destroying several thousands of dollars worth of property and instruments. What if he had begun attacking the shoppers? What if he begun attacking the store personnel? What if he begun, we need to better equip and train our security. I know that it's the client who dictates what they shall do and what they shall be carrying and what kind of equipment they'll have. I know all of that. But really, people, whenever you put people in a public safety position where we're not talking about access control, we're actually talking about protecting the public, we need to start training, equipping, gearing up to protect the public and protecting the security personnel as well. The other situation was very similar. It was also in a venue, a music venue, and two people were fighting, and they were going at it, and they were throwing punches at other people that were in the audience, and there were a lot of security people there. They definitely could have overcome the people fighting and breaking chairs and just wreaking havoc, but the security, plainly seen in the video, they just stood there and they waited for law enforcement, who was out directing traffic in the parking lot, to come in. They were waiting for the cavalry. If they had been properly trained, if they had been properly equipped, they could have responded. We've seen many a times, over and over and over and over again, where security do detain, they do subdue suspects, they protect the public, and that's what we're there for. Anytime that you're not in an access-controlled environment, if you're on a school grounds, if you're in a shopping mall, if you're on patrol, if you're in a music venue, if you're where the public is all around you, then your job is to protect life and property. Your job is public safety, and you need to be trained, prepared, equipped. And that's what really concerns me about putting private security officers out doing certain law enforcement tasks. It's not that they're not capable. It's just that they're not prepared. They're not equipped. They're not trained. And more than likely, someone's going to get hurt. We've seen it over and over again. They're going to get killed. And yet, it'll be just another day. Around the world, in Canada, and England, and across Europe, and Australia, and South America, and South Africa, and other places, private security there are also used as private police, and they have private police authorities, and they're required to have certain type of training above the minimal, and they do a great job, and that's what has to take place here. So if your agency is getting involved in private policing, I strongly advise that you come together with a training program, even if it's not regulatory, because I got to tell you something, regulatory training never thought about you becoming private policing. They only were thinking that you were security guards. You were just protecting minimal, that you were observing, reporting, that you were not enforcing. And that's what's happening across the country. The laws are not keeping up with the actual duties that security officers are providing, because if they were, your training levels and the requirements of hiring security would also have increased substantially, as they have in Virginia and California and D.C., where there is private police and so forth. I believe that we're going to be, in the next couple of years, we're going to really be seeing how this all kind of comes together, and hopefully are people who are trying to do a good job and just make a living really don't get hurt, and the deaths of security officers don't go up substantially. But I'm afraid that they will. That's all for this day, today's program, and we're glad that you've been with us here on the Private Officer Beat. If you have anything that you want to say about this, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.